Green Visions on KUMD is a feature to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by the Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future. In what seems to be a sideline of science and climate action, Minnesota is finalizing approval for Line 3. Winona LaDuc is the executive director of Honor the Earth, and she's our guest to talk to us a little bit more about that this morning. Winona, good morning. It's always good to have you on the show, but it's a shame that we frequently talk when it's bad news for issues that you're advocating for. Talk a little bit about where we are now on the Line 3 project.
Yes, thanks for your call. And indeed, you know, it's funny. I'm over here working on solar energy and hemp. And one day I look up and I was like, jeepers, you just approve all that pipeline. You know, so that is right. The governor approved not only the water crossing permits, but also the DNR permits, Department of Natural Resources, for Line 3. Really a disaster for not only the environment, but for civil rights and for the government. I mean, I found it particularly ironic that the day after Walz issued the permits for Line 3, the Michigan governor, Gretchen Whitmer, pulled all the permits for Enbridge's Line 5 under the Straits of Mackinac, saying that it, you know, was too big of a risk for the clean drinking water and good jobs of the state of Michigan. And so I'm just, you know, I'm kind of like, one governor is like, I'm going to enact what's called a public trust to protect the public and the waters of the public from foreign corporations. And Governor Walz seems to think that this is the answer to his problems, and it is not.
We've talked about this project a few times on the show here. Scientists, of course, public health officials have come out against this proposal, and you and I have talked about it in particular in light of the pandemic and the light of some of the societal shifts. Obviously, we don't want to be in pandemic mode for any longer than we have to, but we've also seen kind of a revaluing of priorities. We've seen the way some environmental impacts and some ways our environment has responded to the pandemic. So it kind of feels like that the science was ignored on this. And where did the governor and the MPCA go wrong, especially because the governor has talked so often about his reliance on science when it comes to his response to the pandemic?
Yeah, there is no common sense in this. I mean, you know, in the least, what the governor could do is issue a stay. You know, say, hey, you got all your permits. Why don't you just wait till there's not a raging pandemic? You know, I mean, counties like Aiken County with four ICU beds. And if you look at the map of the pipeline, you can see that exactly along that is where there's a surge, some of the largest surges in COVID. And so we don't need it now. You know, the governor totally disregarded science. And then, you know, like little known additions, like the permits issued by the Department of Natural Resources approve 690 million gallons of water moving inner basins in those pipes for Enbridge, you know, really huge impact, and then approve the taking of endangered species on behalf of Enbridge. You know, a lot of things violated what I would call the public trust. And I'm, you know, what I want is I want government to work. I spent 7 years trying to make the system work in Minnesota. And at this point, you know, the governor has made some decisions thinking he's bringing good jobs to the north, but these are not good jobs. These are jobs full of a lot of hate. And, you know, we need pipes, but how about we do pipes for water and sewer? How about we put pipeliners to work doing pipes that we need? You know, this is just baffling to me that the governor has, like, flown in the face of science, of economics, the end of the fossil fuel era, 400,000 barrels less going through Enbridge's price, you know, Enbridge's lines, and oil companies are bailing on refineries right and left. Why would you approve a pipeline now? You know, no other pipeline's been approved. Constitution Pipeline canceled. Just makes no sense to me. The governor's been misled that these are good jobs, and what we need is really a just transition and good jobs for all of us for the future.
What about the MPCA? What's the MPCA's role here, Ben, in this?
the MPCA is egregious. You know, many of us spent years on the MPCA talking about environmental justice to find that, you know, what we were allowed to talk about became smaller and smaller. And then long conversations about Line 3 being the epitome of what an injustice looks like when you saddle the poorest people in the state with, you know, a pipeline project for a Canadian corporation. You shove it down their throat, causing more trauma and ultimately distress to wild rice. I mean, 50 new coal-fired power plants, that's what this pipeline is, let alone the fact that they talk about it being a new pipeline, but those pipes have been sitting there for years. They've been sitting in storage for years, and those are not good pipes. We saw that when they put in the brand new pipe, Keystone XL, a couple years ago. Big leak, big leak. So where's that leak going to happen? Someplace out there where nobody sees it, in the middle of Aiken County. You know, it's so wrong. That's why the MPCA people resigned. I mean, 12 out of 17 members of each Environmental Justice Advisory Group resigned, because why pretend that the MPCA wants to address environmental justice? You can't both address environmental justice and shove a pipeline through poor people's, you know, into Indigenous communities.
And when people, I thought that I had understood at one point, and I believe that the line go through Clearwater County? Is it Clearwater County or Clearbrook County? I always get those confused.
It goes through Clearwater County.
Clearwater County.
You know, and that,
and it wasn't,
that county.
Didn't I read at one point that Clearwater County had one of the highest rates of poverty in the state? I guess I just wonder if it's, you know, in a sense, if you're offering kind of any jobs in a community that is struggling with poverty, are you kind of loading the dice?
I mean, Enbridge has slathered money throughout the North Country, $100 million worth of money, you know, and they certainly should. I mean, they have saddled Minnesota with liability for 60 years. $100 million should be like annual allocations. And instead, what's happening is these poor counties are so in stress. Enbridge is offering them property tax money. But if you take a look, you find out that Enbridge actually appealed all of that to the Minnesota tax court. And the court has found that, in fact, Enbridge deserves money back. So I just, you know, I'm an economist by training, and this is just not only boom bust economics, but this is really destructive fossil fuel economics. And, you know, good sound planning by the governor would bring us real jobs. What we really want is vision and courage and leadership and public trust to be upheld by state officials. But, you know, what we're seeing is that the governor has been duped by Enbridge. And, you know, that's sad. That's a sad thing.
So do you believe, after your experiences working on this project, do you believe there's so much conversation about Minnesota wanting to become and working in many areas to become a leader on climate action? Do you think that the two things can Minnesota become a leader on climate action while making decisions like this, or is there something systemic that needs to be addressed?
This is not action on climate. This adds 50 new coal-fired power plants. You know, it's a sham that the Walz administration, that the MPCA, are talking about a commitment to climate when they approve such an egregious project. And, you know, these projects are being turned down everywhere around the country, including Governor Whitmer, you know, saying we're done, Enbridge. So I find the logic baffling and the stupidity amazing.
Winona, I realize you're very shy and you struggle to say what you really think. Have you talked to the governor? You strike me as the kind of person that would absolutely either just stride right into the governor's office or call up the governor and say, hey, a couple of people have heard of me. I'm kind of I'm a significant person in this area. Can we have a cup of coffee and talk about this? Have you talked to the governor?
Yeah, tell Tim to come visit. Tell Tim to come visit. He can meet me right up there at one of those pipe yards. I mean, we discussed with the governor's staff the implications of COVID, you know, in these counties with so, you know, that are already taxed with COVID, bringing in 4,200 workers. That is not in the public interest. And discussed with the governor the civil rights implications of this. I mean, you know, the fact is that Enbridge is distributing equipment to sheriff's offices in northern Minnesota. We have photos of them distributing equipment. What is in that equipment? Why would a Canadian multinational drop things off at a sheriff's office? Who's in charge of the unlicensed security guards and the tiger swan-like situation that may be developing in the $38 million worth of military repression? Who's in charge of that, Governor? That's the conversation I had with them. Someone needs to be accountable for these decisions, and seeing what it is like in the deep north, I am pretty sure that Enbridge has got a clean slate and lots of money greasing the wheels, and it's just a tragedy for our democracy and a tragedy for our environment. And we, like many others of all colors, intend to continue to fight this. In the least, we should have our day in court. The Court of Appeals is reviewing all of the permits, the Certificate of Need and the Route Permit issued to Enbridge, and the Department of Commerce has asked for that as appealed. You know, we would like our day in court. And it would make a lot more sense if the day in court occurred before the pipeline construction began.
So one of the things that I guess I'm thinking about from South Dakota in particular is that some of these projects tend to just go ahead with the idea that, okay, you know, we're gonna be given permission already, so we're gonna just, you know, move some stuff into place so that we're ready to go, you know, and so basically everything's already there. They're on the land. The equipment's there. The supplies are there. Everything's there. Where does it stand now? I mean, does it, having it go to the Court of Appeals, does that mean that nobody can do anything until the Court of Appeals has made their decision? Or what happens now?
Enbridge is unrolling. They are planning December 1st to start unrolling. They are prepped. You know, if you drive across, if you look south of Floodwood on Highway 73 or over by Cromwell, or you could just look over in like a little bit southeast of Park Rapids, the town of Bacchus is entirely inundated now with Enbridge machinery and a man camp. You know, or maybe we'll just say there's like five or six trailers there. I mean, there are pipeliners, locations for people to rent being advertised throughout the northern Minnesota. I mean, we are already seeing pipeliners walk into Fleet Farm in downtown Park Rapids, Keystone XL t-shirts on, no masks. So they're here. They're here. And we would like, you know, we would like the dogs called off. We would like the dogs called off. We'd like to have some justice. You know, a stay during a pandemic would be a decent thing to do for the people of Minnesota, a stay until we have the findings of the appellate court. But Enbridge wants to push this through really quick. Before, you know, the pandemic is over and in the middle of winter, that's their plan. And that's wrong. You know, they shouldn't be able to move ahead because it is the wrong thing to do for the state of Minnesota.
So what happens? What's next?
What happens? We stand and they move. You know, I do not know. You know, I do not know what is going to happen. I know that there are 70,000 people who testified against this project. I know that the librarians locked down on the Enbridge pipes in Clearbrook, and then the Catholic workers did. All kind of people oppose this pipeline. And, you know, it's going to be a brutal winter, and the governor could give us a little peace.
I hope we have the opportunity to talk about this again soon, Winona. And thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning.
Yes, thanks. Thanks for having me. And let's hope for a just transition rather than more pipes in pandemics. And we're going to stand for that. Thanks for your time, though.
Thanks, Winona. Winona LaDuke joined us this morning as our guest on Green Visions. She is the executive director of Honor the Earth. Green Visions on KUMD is made possible with support from Heritage Window and Door, the Duluth Superior supplier for Renewal by Anderson Windows and Doors, and from the Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future.